Hey, what's up, all of you who are tuning in to check out our latest message right here online? Listen, it's going to be a great message, and we hope that you enjoy, but even more than that, we would love to see you in person at one of our live weekend worship experiences. If you're not in our area, we want to encourage you to find a local church where you live, because we just believe that we're no good alone, we're better together, and you need family. So if you're not in our area, make sure you find a place where you live, where you can attend a physical church and become family. In the meantime, we hope you enjoy the message and have a good day. We're in this series entitled, When God Says No, and I was asked just before we came up tonight, are we actually going to get to why he says no? Yes, we will get there tonight, and why he says no. We've all experienced it. I believe everyone in here has probably experienced a no. We've all experienced no in our lives from our parents or jobs and those type things, but I think we've also, every one of us at some point in our journey, have experienced a no from God. We've all been left with the feeling of why. That's kind of why we're here tonight. Why are you saying no to this? Surely this is what you would want. Why? Or surely this is how you would want this tragedy or this thing that's out of my control that has happened. Surely you would want it to happen this way. And we may not have gotten a no, but we did get it didn't happen the way we thought it was. So therefore, that also too is a no. So we're seeing how God directs our steps through a no. So as you can see, I have some friends up here with me tonight, and I can tell my story as I have throughout this series, things that God has done. That, you know, we've been singing that song. I'm very passionate about it right now. Sea of Victory, you know, what the enemy meant for evil, he's turning it around for. I just believe that. You know, I've said that all my life, he's turning it around. But I don't know, it's something about this position that I'm in now. I don't mean as a leader or a pastor, but just where I've positioned myself. Everybody say position myself. Where you position yourself determines how receptive you are to what God wants to do for you and through you. Amen? It's called, it's position is everything. So tonight, I wanted you to hear some of their story. Tonight, yes, we're going to get into the Word. This is just going to be brief, but I thought it was important. Some of you already may have known their personal stories. And so I want to start with Travis. Travis has been coming to the church for a little while. He may want to share a little bit about that. But specifically, how God will take things that were probably meant for his bad and not understanding, hey, God, this good thing just happened to me now, this bad thing's happened to me, but I just believe that God positions us in the right place for a greater yes. Amen? So y'all give it up for Travis tonight.
Thank you. So I don't know how many people were here, but Pastor B let me do a spoken word up here. And I had just bought a new car. It was raining real hard that night. Y'all don't make fun of me, please, okay? But it was raining real hard that night. I was nervous. I was spaced out. And all of a sudden, bam, I look into my rearview mirror, and my mirror is flying. Smacked it, cracked my mirror. I was pretty upset about it because I just bought this car. And at that time, I was like, wondering, do I even do this spoken word or not? But I did it anyways. And then I ordered the parts for my car, and it was expensive. It was like $300. So I was pretty upset. And then, you know, if you don't know, I have a little daughter. She's 4 years old, and she lives far away. So things can be difficult, you know, with that. And I would just remember praying to God, like, what do I do? Do I move and struggle financially in Orlando? Or do I stay here at this job I don't really like? And I just remember being, I'll get back to the mirror in a second, but I just remember
being. It was a job what?
A job that I didn't really like. And so, yeah, I just remember like praying like every night, what do I do? Well, I went to go pick up the parts for my car, and I was in my tech clothes, and the service manager walked by and said, hey, do you have a minute? Which caught me off guard. I said, absolutely, what's up? So he brought me into the office, and we literally talked for an hour. I got there, I think, at like 6:40. I left at 7:40. So he interviewed me on the spot, and he ended up offering me a real incredible offer that I couldn't turn down. And
you weren't looking for a job, right?
I was not looking for a job. And I just felt like a lot of prayers were answered right there. So I did end up taking this job. It turned out to be better money. Not that that always matters, but it was just icing on the cake, you know, and stuff like that. So that's pretty much where I've been this past week. And it was right when Pastor B was talking about, you know, he will take what was meant for evil and turn it for good. So it was definitely an experience.
Come on, y'all, give it up for Jesus tonight. And that's crazy, because if you heard him, he said, I was debating on direction. Should I move to, you can probably mute that one down. I was debating on to go to Orlando or to stay here. And God directs us through circumstances. Now, when he got to church and he told me, he's like, dude, he said, man, I hit a trash can. I knew exactly where that trash can was because I moved out of the road because it was trash day on our road. And I moved out of the way and he hit it. God will allow things to happen to position him. He's in Gainesville, not looking for a job. And look what happened. Amazing, 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 amazing. I'm going to let Tammy tell a little bit of her story about how God positions, and his time schedule isn't always our time schedule. And he will drag it out just to see if our trust is in him.
Yep. Well, me, unfortunately, I was looking for a job. I lost my job at Walmart, and then a week later, we got our grandchildren. We've had them for a year, and I was, at the time, fortunate to be off, spend the time with them. But when I was looking for a job, I had probably about 40 or 50 applications everywhere that I can think. Kept getting no's. I had just had an interview like 3 weeks before with Drummond Bank, and I did not get that position. So I just kept praying, you know, something's going to come along, and I kept my faith and kept praying. And then on a Wednesday afternoon, I just did another interview, and I get a message from Allie, and she's like, Mama needs your phone number. I had no clue what it was about. So then Sally calls me, and she's telling me her situation at work. And she needed a receptionist pretty quick. So
you just happened to be available.
I just happened to be available. God knew. So she talked with me about it on Sunday before church, and I had gotten the job. She had given me the job. So the Tuesday, I started the work, and I love it. It's teaching me things. It's helping people that need help. And I had done nothing but retail for almost 30 years. So this was all new to me, but, you know, step by step, you know, God told me that it was going to be okay. So you just got to keep your faith and keep praying, because he does answer.
Amen. 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 And I love that, because she, you know, God knew what was coming down the pike with the grandchildren, and that then she needed to be available. And so, and I'll never forget just passing conversations where she's, you know, through that year process of, you know, hey, you guys okay? Hey, God's taking care of us. And so it's incredible. And Tammy, actually, about a little over a year ago, we were looking for volunteers to come in and help to clean the church, and we're going to do it for like a 6 month and then change to the next group. And 6 months went by, and we came and said, hey, Tammy, are you good? Are you ready for relief? And she said, no, I'm actually enjoying it. Matter of fact, there will be times that I would come during the week and try to catch her get here first and do it. That way she could have the day off, just because I wanted to be able to shock her like that. She actually got mad at me because she said, that's my time to get to praise and worship, and that's my time with the Father. So she's like, stop stealing my, you know, my time. I think we did that. We had that conversation a couple times. After that, I got it. I'm good. No more. So she did that for over a year, and she faithfully asking nothing in return. So I just tell you what, she is amazing, amazing, amazing. God honors faithfulness. All right, I've asked for Michael and Ashley to share on their side of when we hear God say no. And if you remember back to the very first part one where I said God's no will always lead to a greater yes.
Hello. So everybody knows Ethan, right? For about 8 years, on and off, we've been trying to get pregnant to have him a sibling. And we kept having test after test be negative. And we had always talked about how if we hit 30, we'll try to adopt. And went through the whole thinking God hated us and blaming ourselves over it, just to realize it was a no. And it wasn't until we got this little one that we realized it was for a greater yes. And now we are waiting to hopefully be able to adopt.
Amen. 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 Come on, y'all, give it up for these guys one more time. Thank you all so much for coming and sharing. Awesome. 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 Thank you guys so much. You know, I think it's, and I said this to our leadership team. Watch your step. I shared with our leadership team on Sunday that, you know, a lot of times we're so focused on our story and how jacked up it is. Anybody got a story like that? And then we're like, okay, God, what about me? What, everybody else is getting theirs. What about me? But then when you actually hear somebody else's story, your issue doesn't seem as great. And I think that's why God wants us to be his hands and feet, because a lot of times we get so consumed with us that we forget about the next person. And then we're going inward trying to make sure we can get us whole and get us. But how many knows? We all need each other. Amen. So I am so thankful for the families that God is putting together. Each of us have our story. Some of them may be the same. Some of them may be different. Some of you here tonight could be a family that's considering adopting or have tried to adopt. Don't ever look at no's or a closed door as something negative or bad, because God always has something greater. Amen. 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 Well, I hope you got your notes tonight. We're gonna move through this really, really quick. But the biggest thing that we are taking away from this is trusting his timing. Everybody say, trust his timing. God's timing is always right. His timing is always right. His timing is always perfect. It may not be how I think it, but it's always right and it's always perfect. Amen? All right, let's go back to Ecclesiastes. This is the verse that I shared last week, but I want to go back to this real quick. And it says, there is an opportune time to do things. This is the Message translation. A right time for everything on earth. Everybody say right time. Everything that happens here on earth, everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, the tragic, everything, regardless. And again, it goes back to his timing, okay? And I know some of this, it's a gut check. But everything we go through challenges our trust in God. Everything challenges our trust. Who's the one that produces the challenge? The enemy. He's always the one that's going to challenge your faith, what you believe in God, and we always use what we're going through to determine if we really do. That's like the pattern that we try to mold if we really trust him or not. Okay. When really we should be looking at God going, I trust him because he's God, not because of what I'm going through. Amen? So there's an opportune time to do things, a right time for everything on earth, a right time for birth and another for death, a right time to plant and another to reap, a right time to kill and another to heal, a right time to destroy and another to construct, a right time to cry and another to laugh, a right time to lament and another to cheer, a right time to make love and another to abstain, a right time to embrace and another to part, a right time to search and another to count your losses, a right time to hold on Everybody say, hold on. Everybody say, Pastor B, I've been holding on for a long time. It's my time. Come on, Jesus, it's my time. And then another to let go. A lot of times we're holding on so tight, he can't change your direction because you got a grip. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about, you know, you've been white knuckling. You ever been through a storm? You're driving in the rain. It's real dark. You can't see. And you white knuckling. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, ain't nothing going to move this car. Nothing. That's how we do with our circumstances. We are so tight on this thing. He can't come in and change it if he wanted to. Well, he could. But he never goes against what you really want. In a tight grip means you really don't trust him. It all goes back to trust. And a right time to rip out and another to mend. A right time to shut up. Stop talking. You talk too much. And then another to speak. Sometimes you just need to tell God how you feel. He can handle it. A right time to love and another to hate. A right time to wage war and another to make peace. Say, his timing is always right. His timing is always right. So it all comes down to understanding his timing. It all comes down to understanding his timing, not understanding that this doesn't make sense. That's where we get, this doesn't make sense. Well, his ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. It's his timing. It's not our timing, but God. God, understanding God's no is predicated solely on my level of trust in him. Did you capture that? My understanding of the no that he's saying is predicated solely on my level of trust. If I trust him completely, then no matter what, I will not be moved. If my trust level is, I'm coming to church once or twice a month, because I need to be doing trust level. I trust. No matter what comes, I trust you to take care of my family. No matter what happens, no matter if I'm up here leading worship, and little did I know 4 weeks ago while I'm leading worship that my house is being destroyed by water. And then when I get home, what do I do? I didn't have a wetback. I grabbed a shampooer because it's the only thing that would actually suck water up in a little bucket like this. So every two strokes, I had to go empty the bucket. I did what I had to do, but then after that, I said, God, I trust you to take care of this thing. And I'm telling you, exceedingly abundantly above everything we could have ever asked or thought, it looks almost completely better. And it will when they're done. And they say, see ya. God will take care of you, but you got to trust his timing. Amen? Yeah, you say, but you don't know. I know, but I don't understand, Pastor B. It's crazy. It's just too much. I just don't know. Hit me with 2 Thessalonians. Hit me with that verse. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, it should just be a picture, I think. Yeah. But the Lord can be trusted. Everybody say, he can be trusted. The Lord can be trusted to make you strong. When do you need to be made strong? When you're weak. But what do? When we're weak, We just naturally avoid coming to a place that can make us strong. When we're weak, we naturally avoid the people who can actually help us. But the Lord can be trusted to make you strong and protect you from harm. Stay under his protection. I don't know who that's for right in that moment. Stay under his protection. A lack of trust will always get you straight in front of the arrow of the enemy. Fiery dart. That doesn't mean just because you now have trust in him, the fiery dart's not coming, but you're now protected. Even though I've been saved for most of my life, I ain't always acted like it, but I've been saved most of my life. Had what happened 4 weeks ago happened some years back, even though I was a Christian, I would have lost my mind. And I really didn't. I'm just in this place where I trust him. And that's where he wants to position all of us, because we're going to get hit. We're going to go through things. The enemy's going to come. He's under attack. I told the leadership team, I think, Sunday morning, man, he was coming at me Sunday, and I'm looking in the mirror trying to shave going, okay, devil, is that all you got? Somebody say, you looking at yourself talking about the devil? I'm just saying, he needs to know. I don't care where I'm at. I'm talking to God. I'm talking to him. If he shows up, devil, you got to go. You won't have me. You won't have my family. It's not yours. It's already been paid for. Some of you need to have an interaction with the enemy. Stop tiptoeing around him. Well, I don't want to disturb him. Bless God, disturb. The Bible says that the kingdom suffereth violent, but the violent take it by force. Sometimes we got to get violent with the enemy. Stop playing with him. Amen? Listen, so we understand that he says no. If you've been here, we've already talked about these, but you can put them all up there. He says no. How does God say no? He says no through his word. A lot of the reasons why we can't get clear direction from him is because we're not in his word listening to his voice. Amen? Another way is through leadership. Whether that's your pastor, your boss, the government. I mean, he always guides through leadership. He also guides through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our navigating system. He also guides through circumstances. Trash cans just being out in the middle of the road. Bam! $300. But now you got a job that's paying you above what you were making. I'm just telling you, position yourself right. Amen? And then don't get caught off guard when crazy circumstances happen, because he's lining you up for something big. That's just what you got to say. Okay, this is tough right now for me to swallow, but I know you're lining me up for something greater. Amen? So his word, his leadership, Holy Spirit, and circumstances. And last week I told you an accountability partner. If you do not have one, find one, get one. Somebody who can speak into your life and you not be offended. So a no from God doesn't necessarily mean that it's bad. I wish the young people, the students, were in here tonight. Just because we read things in the Bible that says don't do this and that, it's not necessarily that it's bad. Everybody say it's not always bad. It's just not best for you at this time. God, surely you want me to have this job. It would actually allow me to pay my bill. Surely you would want better. Yeah, but it's not the best that he has for you. That just means something better than that, that you can physically see, you can physically understand. He's got something greater than that. Amen? God wants what's best for us. Listen, it can be the right thing done with the right person. But the right thing done at the wrong time with the right person can make the right thing wrong. It can destroy. So we opened up this series in Acts chapter 16. We're not going to go there tonight. If you didn't get in on that, you can go back and listen to part one, or you can take that home and read it tonight. But we understand this is where we're getting. Why does he say no? We don't understand a lot of times. Say greater. It's for something greater. If you give me 10 minutes, I'm going to get us out of here, okay? I'm gonna fly through this. You're going to be like, wow. Everybody say wow. So Paul and Silas were on this missionary journey, and they were presenting the gospel, and they were also shoring up some areas within the church that were causing conflict. And so they were wanting to go to Asia to minister and to make some things right and to settle down some issues in the church. And God said no. Everybody say no. We've all experienced and we don't know understand why. Tonight we're going to find out why. Everybody say greater. So we know later on in the story that they, after a time, that they did go back to Asia, but God had something greater he needed to take care of first. Amen? Again, this picture that I'm painting is, surely, God, this is what you would want. Surely you would want people in the church in this area to calm down. Surely you would want this to happen. Again, we're telling God, surely you would want, when God's got something greater in store. Say big picture. He sees the big picture. Each one of us, we're playing a small role in that. Okay? And I got reprimanded one time when I said that small role, like I was discrediting myself. And but I always want to remain humble, because I never want to go, well, this is this big thing and I get to be a part of it. No. It's a big thing, but it's a very small role that I play. And it's really up to him if he continues and allows me to do that. And it's also up to me if I position myself in a place where he can use me. Did you track all that? So we must trust God and believe in his timing. We learn from Paul's story that God will do whatever it takes. Everybody say whatever. Trash can in the way. He'll do whatever it takes to position you in the right place in order for his will to be accomplished. Amen? So in Acts 16, in the 11th verse, if you want to kind of look there, we know that they went to Philippi. Everybody say Philippi. So once he got the, because they went to, I don't remember if I went in here or not. I can't remember, but he wanted to go to Asia. God said no. He wanted to go to Bithynia. God said no. So they went to Taurus, I think is what it is. I can't remember. Taurus, is it right? Starts with a T. And so It was there that he had a vision. Everybody say vision. It was in that place that God gave him a vision of a man, and it was saying, hey, come to Macedonia and help us. So it's important that you're in the right place in order to hear the right word. If you're in the wrong place, you're going to hear the wrong word over your life. You're going to hear people saying, well, just come over here. Nobody's going to know. Nobody in your church is going to find out. The pastor, it don't matter. No, Jesus knows. Stop trying to get around the no. And just say yes to him. So while in Philippi, this is why it was important that they heard the no and then acted on God's no, not in a disobedient way. This is why. If you'll read on, there was a lady by the name of Lydia. She was actually a very prosperous lady. She accepted the message of the gospel, and she also then understood what her prosperity was for. She understood that it was the blessing of God. So if they would have just done what they wanted to anyway, this lady would have never really understood that there was a mission and a plan for her life. Her name was Lydia. A second one was, if you read on in the text, was a young lady who had a spirit of divination. Somebody says, what is that? That is where you are demon-possessed, and that spirit can then actually tell. We know it as fortune-telling, okay? Some of that is a hoax, but there's also people who are demon-possessed or demon-oppressed, and that spirit is actually speaking into what it knows that you're wanting to hear. It's a demonic spirit. But yet we'll go pay money to watch stuff like, what's that, with tarot cards and what's the thing with the little arrow and it goes across the board? Ouija board. We'll pay money for entertainment. You entertain the enemy, he going to follow you back to the house. Then you want to know why your kids are having nightmares in the middle of the night. It's because you just took God's tithe money and went to the movie theater and paid money to be entertained by a demonic spirit. Well, that stuff's not real. Let me tell you something. I remember a long time ago, we lived in North Carolina, and there was a young lady in our church who was possessed by a spirit, and I remember Dad counseling her in our house. It was after that, this particular time, he no longer counseled her in our house. It's important that you recognize who to let in your home because they carry stuff. This young lady, I heard a man's voice come out of a female's body. That's known as a demonic spirit. It is real. Okay, that's not to scare anybody, but it's for the church to wake up and go, man, that stuff's real. So it's important that we're not entertaining. But this particular girl, she was what we now know as human trafficking. It wasn't her body, but it was the spirit that the people, that she was a slave, and her owners were actually making money off of her. It's called human trafficking. That's not nothing new. So. This girl and Paul recognized the demonic spirit and cast the spirit out of her. Listen, and she lived for him, for Jesus the rest of the days of her life, according to Scripture. If it wasn't for the no, these two young ladies' life would not have been changed. Now, this is when it gets even better. So the owners of the slave girl who's in human trafficking, who no longer has a spirit to read your mail, they're not making money anymore. So what do? They take Paul and Silas. You know the story. They take Paul and Silas to the authorities. Then what happens? They put Paul and Silas in jail. Big mistake. Y'all remember that movie from Pretty Woman? Big mistake. Huge. That's a big mistake. You put Paul and Silas in the same jail, in the same cell. The Bible tells us where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be. Guess what? They weren't alone in that jail cell. That was a big mistake. If you wanted to do something, you needed to put them in two opposite sides of town. You ain't got but one jail, fine. Then put one of them somewhere, do something to them. But don't put them together. Bless God, you put us together in a situation like that, we gonna get busy. We're going to get busy. And you know the story. You know what happens. A big earthquake happens. The prison doors shake. Y'all know what? It was their praise. That's why I'm so passionate about about praise and worship, is because I may not feel like it, but I know that as I begin to lift my voice and I begin to lift up a shout and I begin to dance, I know that things in my situation, I may not see it happening, but I believe by faith and I'm trusting by faith what the enemy meant for my bad, God is turning around for my good. And it happened for Paul and Silas as they begin to worship, and as they begin to pray. Now, for the American Christian, we would have been complaining. God, I just showed Lydia that you had a plan for her life. This is why you're pouring out blessings. This young lady who was in human trafficking, God, she got set free. Now she's living for you. And now I'm in a jail cell. That's what for real, God? That's how we would have responded. I should have just ignored you and taken the pass and went back to the church, the people who already know you, and just calmed the fires a little bit. That's what we would have done. But not Paul and Silas. They recognized that where they were, listen, church, where they were, remember what I said Sunday, where you are right now, you were there on purpose for a purpose. It was in that jail cell. They did not allow their problem to deter them from their purpose. Don't allow what you're going through to deter you from what your purpose is and the direction that God has for your life. If there's a bump in the road, just take a little sidestep. Stop trying to find another street and go, well, I'm going to go off in this direction. Just take a little sidestep and still head in the direction that God has called over your life. Amen? Listen, I've said this before. When a problem comes, create a problem for your problem. And that problem is worship. When you begin to worship in the midst of trial, in the midst of tragedy, but I don't feel like it, I feel like crying. There's a time for that, but then shake that off, bless God, and just begin to worship. Give your problem a problem. When you begin to worship your way through a problem, it messes up the mind of the enemy. He's like, because all he knows is if I create a problem, they'll fall. If I create a problem, they'll quit. That's all he reduplicates in the lives of Christians every single day. But when a Christian who's got a made-up mind that no matter what I'm facing, I'm going to worship through it, he freaks because he doesn't know. Because that part, he can't touch that. He can't touch your praise. And he knows how powerful it is because he was once the choir leader in heaven. He was over worship, so he knows. Oh my gosh, I get goosies all the time, I'm sorry. When they begin to worship, the enemy goes, wait a minute, something's happening. I remember a long time ago, these two dudes named Paul and Silas, when they begin to worship all the prisoners, the gates, all the shackles were loose, the gates were open, and all the prisoners were set free. Now, check this out, this is what the Holy Spirit showed me. It's important how you respond to tragedy. It's the greatest testimony you can ever share, how you respond. Because what happened in the story, you know this story. What happened in the story? When the jailer recognized that all the prisoners were coming out, he was getting ready to commit suicide. And Paul said, no. We're all here. Now, I understand that for Paul and Silas because they know their purpose was to be there. But what about all these other prisoners in the... They don't know nothing about Jesus. First of all, their testimony to say we're all here or we're here. Because I'm sure all the other prisoners were looking at Paul and Silas as leaders. And when they just walked out and didn't run, the other people didn't either. So see how your stability can also create stability for those around you? When you're in a jacked up family situation and you refuse to be moved, you just remain consistent and stable. It will create stability in everything else. Okay? And then the other prisoners, they stayed. And then the jailer who was actually going to commit suicide, he gets saved. He gets baptized and his whole family gets saved. And somebody said, why is this so important? Because sometimes, and I don't know the distance between when they got the original no over Bithynia and Asia, and they went through all that. But because of the no, and they said, okay, God, what do we do? Oh, we're going here. Because of that, a lady understands that he has a plan for her, and another lady recognizes, man, this is not me. God loves me. She gets saved. And then Paul and Silas go into prison, and it had nothing to do with the prison. It had everything to do with Jesus had to put the church in the prison. Because we are the church. It's not this building. Although we're going to be building, I'm claiming within the next 2 years we will have property and we will be building our home where people will get saved. People will get set free. But the church is not the building. So where you are at your job, it's God putting the church in that place of business. That's why it's time for us to start acting like the church. Church. It is. That wasn't a slap. That's why it's important, because he's positioning you to be in where you are. So stop fussing about where you are. He's got you there on purpose. That's easy for you to say. You're doing your purpose. Honey, please. It is not as easy as you think. Because, remember what I told you? When you position yourself, you put a target on your back, the enemy's, man, he's firing off. But I'm protected. Oh, I feel it. I feel it when people walk away. I feel it when people talk. I got all that. But I'm protected. And he will make me strong in my weakness. It's time for the church to be the church wherever you go, wherever you are. What happened was Paul and Silas realized they weren't there by accident. It's time for us to recognize the things that we go through, the things that are happening. I feel liberated. I feel free. And it feels weird, because at the same time I can hear the enemy going, yeah, but I haven't unleashed my greatest attack or assault on your life. And he's come up with some pretty crafty stuff. And I'll just be honest, I fell for some of it. I have. Just like you. But I refuse. I'm not going down. Won't go down. But I feel liberated when I think about, no matter what, he's got me. I trust his timing. God, I trust you. Why was this so important? Even beyond all of those things that happened because they responded to a no, because we can open up our Bibles to the book of Philippians. Because Paul and Silas were submitted. So for us, it tells us we got to be submitted. Submitted to his plan. Stop griping where we are. Man, when it goes crazy, just, God, I trust you. God, I give it to you. I don't know what Pastor B's on, but whatever it is, give me some of that. Give me some of that. It's Jesus. It's called trust his timing. And I get it. It ain't going to make sense. I'm cool with that. That's where we've messed up, when we're not cool with it. He got big plans for you. Big plans. I'm just telling you. That was for you, but it's for all of us. Man, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Oh. So junior and senior introduced me to these things called sliders. I called them skis. I was like, hey, can I use y'all skis tonight? They would look at me funny. I was like, I need to use them tonight. These things are used. It was cool because they put the heavy objects. Everybody say heavy. Sometimes we go through life and we become heavy. Okay. Put a heavy object on this. Put them on both sides. And what would typically take two or three people to move, one person really could move it. But it makes it easier with more than one, because we're stronger together, right? You can take an object that's heavy and move it from where it currently is to where it needs to be. This right here represents us as the church. Sometimes we got to be a slider, because we're going to come into contact with people who are heavy. Real heavy. Life has caused them to be heavy. Hurt, disappointment, and they're stuck. Need to move them from where they are to where God wants them to be. So we become sliders. So that heavy objects can be put on it, and we can move them from where they are to where they need to be. Everybody say, I'm a slider. A servant. That's the cool. These things don't get a lot of attention. And they actually get marked up. marked up. We get marked up when we're used in the kingdom. And I don't mean used and abused. I'm saying, but when we're utilized, we have scratch marks. You can feel it. Feel that? You get to hang out with me a little bit and you start hearing some of my story more than what you would hear here. You get to feel. You feel the hurt. You feel the disappointment. But I trust this thing. I've seen it move some heavy stuff in my house that typically would have actually, had I tried to move it without them, the new flooring that they just put in, I would have destroyed because of nails sticking out of the bottom of bigger pieces of wood furniture. So try to move something on your own. Try to move it on your own. I got this. I got this, Jesus. I got this, God. I got it. No. He sent the church. As long as, and that's what, we're to be sliders. We're to allow ourselves to be used to help people. Yeah, but I'm the one that's heavy. Well, that's the beauty of this thing. The next person steps in and says, hey, you know what? Here. Stand on it. It's your time. You stand here. And allow the body to move you from where you are to where he wants you to be. Amen? If you're ready to do that, can you stand all over this room tonight? How many are thankful for corny little illustrations? And because Senior Jeff and Little Jeff didn't ask me, I was in the living room studying, or the kitchen, and I was like, after I had told him, I was waiting for him to ask me what I was going to do with him. Just out of curiosity. So I walked in, I was like, well, since y'all hadn't asked me and I know you want to know, I'm going to tell you. And so I shared that with them, trying to work it in a little bit, and they were like, wow, I would have never. So now, you know what, after they're long gone with Bradley and Amy's house, and they use these, you know what they're going to see? They're going to remember what their mission is. And that's to be a slider. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word tonight.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.